We've just concluded a really fabulous week here at Unity Renaissance with our spiritual education and enrichment classes. And all week long, the church was just bustling with activity, just a buzz. Just felt such a great energy. And it was just a reminder of how big and beautiful and grand life is, filled with endless possibilities. Well, life is amazing and wonderful. Life is also precious and fleeting and fragile. I was reminded of that a few weeks ago when I had the great honor of visiting Brian Egan and Amy Baldwin, the neonatal ICU unit, where their prematurely born son, Trey, had been delivered and was under intense care. When he was born, he weighed 1 pound, 6 ounces. Not much more than that at the time I was seeing him. I had never seen a human being that tiny. I mean, his little hand was not even as big as my fingertip. Little breathing, little lungs going in and out. It was incredible. It was amazing. Just a reminder of how frail and fragile and tender life can be. The little Trey, whose name means warrior, has now doubled his birth weight and is stable, thanks to the great medical care that he's getting, but thanks in no small part to the profound love and devotion of his beautiful parents. And is that one of them sitting right there? There's Amy. Beautiful parents, Amy. And the love and prayers from all of you, so keep it coming. It's making a difference. And then soon after that, I was reminded how fragile life is by the scenes of the flooding in North Carolina, the flood victims after Hurricane Florence, these valiant rescuers. Just seeing the scenes of that flooding, I realized that could have been us. That could have been us. It's just a reminder how quickly life can change and how your circumstances can overnight become life-threatening. Well, thankfully, those amazing rescuers, thanks to them, thousands more lives were saved than were lost, although we still grieve the loss of life. But it was just one of those sort of crystallizing times when you realize that we don't have forever. You know, we never really know what is coming. And I share this with you just to help us remember to not take life for granted. You know, life is to be treasured. And it is to be lived mindfully and well. So you may remember, or you may have heard about a poem, a popular poem called The Dash. Anybody heard of that poem? You can find it online. And the poem speaks to the truth that everyone on their tombstone has their date of birth and their date of death. And in between the two is a dash. And that dash represents our lives. Represents everything. It encompasses every moment, every day, every year of our life here. It reflects our highs and our lows and our triumphs and our setbacks, our loves, our relationships, our path in life, all represented by that little dash. And the poem says that while one's birth date and date of death are important, that what is most important is the dash between the years. And it says, "For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we lived and loved and how we spend our dash." It then says, "So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged." We never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. What might you like to rearrange in your life? What priorities, beliefs, or actions? What in your life needs to be corrected or mended or realigned? What shifts are you wanting to make? And what unfinished business do you have? You see, our unfinished business calls to us. for completion, for wholeness, for addressing it as part of our life's journey. Now, when I say unfinished business, I'm not talking about the items on your to-do list or even your honey-do list that you haven't quite got to. When I talk about unfinished business, I mean those unresolved issues, those unhealed wounds, the emotions and the memories that we have either avoided or repressed. You know, quite often when we go through something traumatic in our lives, the images, the memories, the feelings are so overwhelming that we choose instead to either ignore or to bury them. But you know, just like I do, they don't go away. They're still right there within us. And unless we are able to release them in an appropriate way, unless we are able to express our sadness, our anger, our fear, our grief, our anxiety, our mistrust, and even our terror at something that has happened in the past, until and unless we are able to release that in appropriate ways, that quite often it will surface and perhaps even come roaring out at other times, unexpectedly. You see, it's really very much like a beach ball. If you're standing in a swimming pool and you push a beach ball down, it's going to come up somewhere else, isn't it? It's going to pop right back up. Well, our feelings are like that. We push them down, but they come back up elsewhere. And truly, the only way to purge ourselves of them is to lift up that beach ball and let it go. So here's a story about unfinished business, because I expect each of you at some point in your life has experienced it or has had it resurface in some way, perhaps in an unexpected way. Perhaps it caught you off guard, as it did this psychology student named Brad, who shared this online story of his unfinished business. And he talks about how he had sat down in a lecture hall, the professor began speaking. And then as he was listening to the professor, Brad started feeling very uncomfortable. And then he began to sweat and feel extremely nervous, felt as if the walls were closing in on him, began to feel a little bit nauseous. He went into the bathroom and, feeling sick to his stomach, and took a few deep breaths and splashed water on his face. And then he said, I realized that if I ever wanted to be an effective psychologist, I would have to do something about how I felt. My professor was talking about how to help clients who are suffering with unresolved grief issues. Unexpectedly, I had been flooded by memories of something I hadn't thought about in years. During the lecture, I flashed back to when I was 11 years old, and the moment I got the news that my older brother had died unexpectedly. It came as a total shock, and to cope, I shut down and avoided thinking about it as best I could. While I had been a client in therapy for several years prior to the class, my brother's death had never come up for me as an issue I needed to explore. However, in that moment, I realized that I had unfinished business surrounding his death and its impact on my life. I realized that if I wanted to move forward, both in my personal life and as a future psychologist, the unfinished business I had around his death would need to be resolved. Well, Brad went on to address his unfinished business, to work through his pain, his grief, his guilt, his anger, and his sadness, and he reported that as he did this almost instantly, it felt like a great weight had been lifted from both my heart and mind. And then he said, by resolving my unfinished business around my brother's death, I was able to get a part of me back that I thought had died with him. Perhaps you can relate to this. Perhaps, in fact, I would be surprised if there isn't some lingering grief, unresolved grief, for each and every one of us. Unresolved grief is near epidemic in our society. We're not very good at dealing with it, both personally and when we're in the company of others going through it. So we do tend to stuff it down. And this unresolved grief is one of the most common forms of unfinished business. It is another form of unfinished business, regret. Regret. Sometimes we feel guilty for what we think we should have said or done that we didn't, or what we have said or done that we shouldn't have. So we're living with regret. Oh, why did I do that? Oh, you know, beating ourselves up kind of a thing. We may be saying things to ourselves like, I should have told my father that I loved him. I shouldn't have been so hard on my child. I should have been more supportive when my spouse wanted to change careers. I should have been there for my friend who was going through cancer. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. We all do it. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets. We are all works in progress. And each and every one of us has a choice, whether to let what happened in the past control our future or to heal and be free of it. To heal ourselves and be free of it, which simply requires that we acknowledge it, make amends if needed, and then let it go. Cut yourself some slack and let it go. This is really what Jesus told us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23, 24, he says, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." I believe he was telling us that we can't fully let our lights shine. We can't really show up as the grand and beautiful spiritual beings we are as long as we're allowing something to obstruct our light. Go and take care of your unfinished business. And then show up in the fullness and the wholeness of the light of who you are. I used to ask myself, if I were at the end of my life, if I were on my deathbed, what regrets would I have? And one that used to come up for me frequently was a feeling of regret related to my divorce from my first husband, or as Richard calls him, my husband. You know, we were not meant to be together, and certainly things have worked out beautifully for me, and they've also worked out beautifully for him. But nevertheless, as I think back on it, I was 36 years old at the time of our divorce, and there are ways in which I believe I was insensitive to his pain, and ways in which I was very wrapped up in my own that I regret, that I feel sorry about. And so I told myself, one of these days, I'm going to just say to him that I'm sorry for that. Well, the opportunity came 3 years ago. We were at our son's wedding, and I thought, okay, I'm going to find time to do this. And so after the ceremony, sure enough, there was a time when we were standing there all alone, and so I summoned my courage, and I said, "Wayne, I just want to tell you that I'm so sorry I hurt you. I'm so sorry for the deep pain that you went through." You know, he was basically ejected from the house. And I said, "You're a good man. You really didn't deserve that." And he looked at me and said, "You know, it all really worked out for the best." And I thought, okay. And then he said something to me. Evidently, he had been storing something up as well. And he said, "And I just want to tell you, thank you for being the best mother to our children that I ever could have asked for." You see? You see, we never know. We never know what doors can be opened, what connections can be made if we address our unfinished business. It was an incredible gift to me that day, and I like to think it was a gift to him as well. So regrets, the second type of unfinished business. And the third type of unfinished business that is common is unforgiveness. When we've got a bone to pick with somebody, or we've got a grudge, or we've got something we're not letting go of, and we're going to tell them a thing or two one of these days, or maybe not even that, we're just going to hold on to it and be mad. You've never done this, I know. Unforgiveness can be about something very small, such as, you just cut in line in front of me. Did you notice that? It could be, I'm wondering why you said what you said yesterday. That I felt a little hurt by that. Or it could be something very big. Before I say these things, I want to say, these are just examples. They are not true in my own life. So, Richard told me, everybody looked at him in the last service. I'm like, no. It could be, I'm just making this stuff up. So it could be, something as huge and as serious as, why did you cheat on me? Why are you hurting me? You see, sometimes the smaller things that happen, we can make a conscious decision to just let that go. I don't want to spend time worrying about that. And live and let live, okay. But there are other things that cut into us so deeply and affect us so profoundly that they require more time and more help and more courage to address. You know, there's a divine synchronicity today as I speak on this topic. I came up with the idea of talking on this many months ago. And by golly, here I am talking about unfinished business at a time when the nation's attention is riveted on the story of a woman who is alleging sexual assault 36 years ago and describing the trauma that she has been through. I'm not going to tell you how to think about that. It wouldn't matter anyway. You have your own opinion. I'm not going there, but I will tell you this. I will tell you this based on reading what she has said, but every bit as much talking to people who have been victimized by sexual abuse or assault. It takes tremendous courage, perhaps more courage than we can even imagine, to take those buried issues and bring them out into the light of day. Incredible vulnerability, incredible courage. And those episodes are not to be denied or dismissed, because the healing only occurs when they are surfaced, when all that has been repressed is being addressed. And we as a society must have the grace and compassion to hear those who come forward. We must have the ability, whether it's a woman talking about sexual assault when she was in high school, or whether it's a man talking about having been sexually abused by a priest when he was a child, that we as a society must be able to provide the sacred space for support and healing to occur. We must be big enough and brave enough to do that, because that is our unfinished business. That is our unfinished business, having buried our head in the sand and pretended that these things aren't going on. These things are going on. It is now blatantly clear. And there's a message for us in that. And the message is to acknowledge it and to make change happen and to commit ourselves, each and every one, to the sacred dignity and rights of every human being. This is our lesson. This is our unfinished business, and we must get about it. So unfinished business can run this gamut from unresolved grief to regrets to unaddressed transgressions. But in each and every case, for individuals and for society as a whole, it is a call to our souls, a call to our spirits to heal and reclaim our wholeness. To really heal those broken parts inside of us and know ourselves truly as the light and the love of spirit. You see, the unfinished business is your path to awakening. You must take it. And so if you find in the living out of your dash, the dash between your date of birth and your date of death, if you find that in that experience you are being weighed down by unresolved grief or pain, or emotions, or difficulties, Know that as you seek the answers, you'll find them. And take advantage of tools available to you, such as therapy and spiritual counseling and speaking with friends and pastoral counseling. And sometimes people even write a letter to the person that they want to make amends with or reconcile with. Whether that person is alive or dead, whether you mail the letter or not, get those feelings out there. This is how we set ourselves free. This is the way of God, the way of who we are. So know that and trust it, and your way will be made clear. Let's turn now to our meditation. Let's take a moment to turn within, closing our eyes, breathing in deeply. Release and let it go. Allowing ourselves to relax from the top of our head to the tips of our toes. Feeling this sense of God's love filling us, every cell of our being. Appreciating in this moment that we are loved. We are safe. And we are worthy. Breathe into the presence of God that we most truly and completely are. This sheltering, supportive, loving presence that is always there for us. I invite you to let go and let God commune with the spirit of your being in the silence. Give thanks for the sweetness of this day and the sweetness of this life. Appreciating the divine strength and wisdom and love and will and all good gifts we have within us to go forward from here, to live our dash mindfully, fully, freely, and with joy. Thank you, God. And so it is. Thank you.